Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they'd explode the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks. 80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes. Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
You are listening. Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
There is a new program on the Freedomizer Network, Bloody Beak Radio, punching the New World Order in the nose. Bloody Beak Radio is here to inform you on a wide variety of topics revolving around current and recent events. The main thrust of the show is not just to inform you of the problems we face, but rather, how do we analyze them in a way that we can use to create counter-propaganda and use that knowledge in our everyday lives? In a sense, how do we market the truth? Bloody Beak Radio will give you the tools to win the information war so we can destroy the barriers that divide the people and have a peaceful revolution. Join your host, Kyle Baker, on Sunday evenings to have an honest discussion about how to win the numbers game and ensure that we decide the tipping point, not them.
How's it going, Freedomizers? This is Ferdinand. Join me on the No Bull Zone every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about everything from local to national issues, how to be free, and even throw in some health talks. Call in to chat or suggest a topic. That's the No Bull Zone every Monday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. East Coast Time, only on Freedomizer Radio.
We'll be right back. Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer, and I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. We do have Eric Bell joining us here in just a few minutes. We're going to get a lot into the topics that he's going to be covering. It sounds as though he is going to be our next new Freedomizer host. And other than that, we have a lot of news to go over here. I have more Bitcoin stuff I want to get into. I got a ton of stuff here that I need to get into today, and some of the stuff I've just been waiting all week to use. But, Eric, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in right now here. Welcome in, Mr. Bell.
Oh, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for thanking me. So, rumor is that you're joining the Freedomizer family.
That is correct, sir. Yes.
All right. So have you picked up the time slot yet?
Yes. And I just did some training with Cheryl, or Feed the Power.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I was hoping I could let the cat out of the bag, unless it's still being negotiated. Can you tell everybody when you will be on, or are you still working that out?
Yeah, so it looks like it's going to be on Tuesday from 6 Eastern to 9. And, yes, I believe that will be Pacific time. That will be 3 p.m. Eastern to 6.
Okay. Well, that sounds cool. So what are the big topics that you like to hit on?
Well, I might go in a little bit to politics, but a little bit, but I like to, but I do kind of see a libertarianism as more of a, is not a really political philosophy. It's a moral philosophy that has political implications to that. This is based off the non-aggression principle and of self-ownership. So I like to, or get, I might interview some candidates, but I would rather get to what I consider more advanced libertarianism. We're talking about altruism.
Okay.
I might interview about a peaceful parenting and those that engage in civil disobedience and stuff like that.
Well, that's cool. I could appreciate somebody that's all over the map. I like when, and I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but I think it's cool when I can tune into a show and not know what I'm going to listen to.
Right.
See, I have no problem having Pastor Lindsey Williams on, followed by somebody that wants to teach us 12 different health benefits to ginger, and then close it out with someone that wants to protest some bill that they have in their city. I don't really care. As long as everybody's getting active and doing something, I'm okay with everything.
Right. Well, I have lots of friends that are from the Ron Paul campaign that are now running for office, which I've told them I've given when I was running my YouTube channel, and I, of course, will extend that through my show on Freedomizer, that I'll gladly interview them when it's as long as, well, like I said, I want to give some very good content that would really, like I said, advanced libertarianism, so to speak, which I'm not really worried about hurting their electability, so to speak. So if they want an interview, they can come approach me for that, it's on their discretion, which so far.
Right, so let me ask you, are you friends with Brett Bittner?
With who? Brett Bittner? Yes. Well, I've corresponded on the phone, and of course, we're Facebook friends, but
okay.
Yes, I've never met him in person.
I was going to say I met him at the Libertarian Convention here in Las Vegas back in 2012.
Nice.
And I know he's one of the bigger people there, at least I thought he was one of the bigger people there in the Atlanta area as far as Libertarian goes.
Yes, I believe still is. I mean, he's the executive director of the Libertarian
right.
Party of Georgia.
And I'll let everybody know, too, that you came by way of Valerie Sergeant Martin, who is one of the all-time greats here on Freedomizer.
Yes, yes. We were acquainted through Facebook since her congressional run, and then I've met her personally during the Ron Paul campaign at the district convention and then at the state convention for the Republican Party, yes.
Okay.
And then
Mandy, I guess you probably know her too then. So I just feel like we're just adding another family member to the table here, so that's awesome.
Yes.
All right, so for example, what articles, if you were on air today, which you are, I guess, but not like you are hosting today, but what would you cover in today's news?
What would I cover in today's news? I'd like to catch up more about Bitcoin, the senator from my home state, Joe Manchin, is now going out for an all-out ban, like they do in Thailand, in China, well, which kind of it surprised me, because I've expected that someone would do that a lot, and want to do that a lot sooner, so definitely be a very big interest of mine.
So they're trying to ban Bitcoin in Georgia? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Senator from my home state, is now seeking an all-out ban on Bitcoin. He's wrote letters to, he's on the banking committee. And now it's basically because the government cannot control it. Right now, which is reasons why he's Ben Swan had done a very good speech. So he gave for two big reasons. One is that it is used to buy from illicit material from it, like he cited the Silk Roads, and that is just that would do for the economy, which is from an obvious perspective that is kind of the point anyway, but. Yeah, which really is, but of course they won't submit, but like they said, they won't, like from the illicit material, although it's from drugs or whatever. Well, that's what drug users, from drug dealers, dealing cash is dealing, from Federal Reserve notes, more than Bitcoin, and from prostitution from Federal Reserve rather than Bitcoin, but he's not seeking a ban on Federal Reserve notes because you can't control that.
I'm just in shock because how could you outright have a ban on Bitcoin? That's just the strangest thing. Even if you're not a fan of it, I just couldn't see. It would be like banning if people traded in comic books or something, like they would ban Spider-Man number one because it could be valuable.
I don't know. Well, I don't know how they enforce that, but you know, that's just like the prohibition. They've really haven't learned their lesson in anything, so they really can't. Government is not really good at banning things. Yeah. But I mean, but
I can see the value going up because of it being banned. Yeah, I could see the value going up because it was banned.
Right. Well, I don't know. That'd be very interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, right now he just sent a letter asking from the Treasury Secretary and Janet Yellen and a bunch of other regulators to basically look into it, to that. But I can probably predict that we'll probably have some sort of legislation in the near future.
Yeah, I'm going to try and pull an article on that right now just so I can read this for people because I just want to read something tangible that I can share with the audience here. Senator calls for Bitcoin ban in letter to financial hold on here. And then there's another pro-Bitcoin congressman calls for ban on U.S. dollar bills. That one's interesting. Let me go ahead and share that article here if you don't mind. I'm going to drop this in our FreedomizerRadio.com chat room powered by Bark. Strangely enough, speaking of Bitcoin, for those of you out there listening in areas that are not FreedomizerRadio.com, we give away micro-Bitcoins in the chat room thanks to Bark.com. So if you create a screen name and start typing away in the chat room and making friends, you do have pieces of Bitcoin that end up in your wallet. So who knows? You do some chatting here, and you might earn enough Bitcoins to get yourself a soda at some point.
Oh, wow.
Hey, it's better than listening to somebody else and not getting a thing for listening, so if we can help people out. But anyway, I'm going to read this here real quick. There's Congressman Jared Polis, a Democrat from Colorado, says if we ban the Bitcoin, let's ban dollar bills too. The dollar bill market has been extremely susceptible to forgers, tax fraud, criminal cartels, and armed robbers stealing millions of dollars from their legitimate owners, he writes to federal regulators. That's what U.S. Congressman Jared Polis wrote in a letter to federal regulators yesterday. This anonymous currency is unregulated, susceptible to instability, illicit activity, and forgery. So I don't know if I necessarily want to read the entire article here right this second. I did post it, but I guess that's fair. If they want to ban Bitcoins because they can't regulate it, then what about the U.S. dollar where there's no regulation at all right now and they can print as much as they want and not have to tell a soul? I never thought I'd see a Democratic senator say something like that.
Well, I barely ever say anything good about politicians these days, but yeah, I always did kind of like Jared Polis for a while. He kind of did kind of take his place as probably the least douchebag Democrat in power for a good. Yeah, for he does quite a few other cool things. But wow, that's just amazing. I'm just like awestruck.
So I don't own any Bitcoins outside of whatever I've earned from, of course, doing the radio show. I'm not anti or pro-Bitcoin. I guess I'm one of those neutral people. I just feel as though I'm just waiting for the United States government to try to regulate Bitcoin. And once that happens, I just think they're not going to be as valuable. So I've just decided to not partake. I guess I give it a slight blessing, but I don't really fully endorse it.
Well, it's one of those things where I don't own Bitcoin myself. I'm not that comfortable in it when I would actually put my own money into it right now. But I would definitely mine it. But that's really just my take in it. Is I would definitely.
Yeah, the only other thing I have about it is that it's an online currency that I just don't want to have computerized currency. I just feel like it goes against what I've read biblically. That's all. I don't want a cashless society.
Not that
I necessarily think Bitcoin is the beast. I think we have yet to see what the new currency is going to be, and I think after the U.S. dollar eventually collapses, that we'll see what the new currency is, and I have a gut feeling it is going to be cashless. So I don't know if that's why regulators or various governments have allowed Bitcoin, because they want to see where this goes. I don't know. I'm just brainstorming here, but I know that people have gotten arrested for making coins out of gold and silver. Von Rothhaus comes to mind directly. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious as though why they allowed Bitcoin, but they'll throw someone in jail for making a coin out of gold.
Well, I guess for right now, the one thing of the one which main appeal is that. Well, it's difficult to regulate or to throw people in jail for having Bitcoin. That and like there are about I don't know how many what the number of other cryptocurrencies there are. I think I would hopefully if that it does look like it would be towards the beast or whatever, as long as there is competition. For other competing cryptocurrencies, I think that would be, I would not be terribly afraid. If they started going after all other, like Dogecoin and Litecoin, and one of my favorites I heard is Kanye West, which was based off of Kanye West, in which he actually tried to get his lawyers to just, for them to end it because it was making fun of them. So I don't see that trend just yet, but that would be my take on it.
I'm hoping it does well. I'm happy to see it go up, even though I only own like $5 US of Bitcoin, but I'm not putting my money where my mouth is just yet on that.
Right, that's understandable. Like I said, I own zero Bitcoin myself. I definitely want to learn more about it. Right now, it's nothing that I would definitely mine it. I could, but it's not something that I'm comfortable in that I would actually just put all my money in and just. I don't know if I'd be comfortable with just getting paid strictly in Bitcoin just yet. So. So it's something I would definitely might see as worth having.
All right. Okay. So as far as the U.S. dollar goes, let me ask you here, what are you doing as far as preparations? What do you see happening here, or are you able to speculate?
To speculate, can't give a specific time of when I do think it would crash, but hopefully this would actually continue.
I saw a video from Stansberry Research. They're saying July 1st is very pivotal, but I've talked to Lindsey Williams, and he said we're at least a year away from from having anything major happen. So I don't know which direction to go.
I'll definitely do as much prep as possible. I think, was it Peter Schiff said that that the dollar will collapse before Obama's term is over. I think maybe Ron Paul might be a little bit, will give the most optimistic, would give like maybe 5-10 years. But it's really hard for me to speculate.
Well, at the very least, it doesn't hurt to put some extra things away.
Oh, yes. And right now, I'm trying to, this year, I would tell all my friends that are running for office, well, my first priority before I would donate them any dollar is trying to get myself into transition to an agorist lifestyle. Karen Lupo wrote a very good book called How to Live, How to Make a Living Outside the System, which, of course, he does acknowledge that there still would be risk and you still might you go into jail, but it really greatly does minimize that. So that is another reason for you to start. I do advocate doing prepping and all that stuff and just making it still for, you're ready for barter. And still, so you can still live in that lifestyle, like as if the dollar was going to collapse anyway.
Well, I guess what I'm looking at here, a few different things come to mind. And I'm just trying to put everything together in my head here. Because when you see a ton of various CEOs of companies, and now a couple in the Bitcoin market, kill themselves. There was one today that said that today, Satoshi Nakamoto, the founder of Bitcoin, he lives in Southern California, and he was saying that there was a big car chase where people were literally chasing him. So I don't know if they tried to suicide him today or not. Let me go ahead and post that in our chat room here. So with all this going on, and various, how does the CFO of Chase Bank just decide to just kill themselves? It's really odd how everybody in one certain industry is just dropping. And not only that, another thing that I question is George Soros has $1.3 billion with a B dollars on the short market for the U.S. dollar, among other currencies, and all he has to do is walk up to a podium and say it's time to get out of the U.S. dollar, and the average sheep is going to say, oh, wow, George Soros must know something, so I better get out of the dollar. And every person that gets out of the dollar just adds to George Soros' pocketbook. Although if you stay in the dollar without his advice, you're going to lose even worse. So there's a no-win situation for everybody except George Soros.
Yeah.
I just don't think a mega billionaire leaves $1.3 billion out there to short a currency without trying to make money on it.
Okay. Yeah, that is scary.
I don't know if you saw that news last week or not.
Catch that, but yeah, I did see, of course, well, quite a few articles of the car about, of course, when they said that they have revealed or they've revealed Satoshi Nakamoto and or supposedly and the car chases in, of course, that mentioned that suicide. Yeah.
So I wonder what they would have said if the founder of Bitcoin just happened to just pass on and he allegedly had a heart attack while driving his car, like William Stillings allegedly had last year.
Well, I think there would definitely, well, I don't know, there might have been some question on that, personally. I think there might have been, it's like, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe it kind of might have been the same thing, like if, a lot of people might say why Ron Paul would have been assassinated if he hadn't somehow been elected president or during during the campaign trail. So he might be safe in that end. I think probably some people's minds might automatically gravitate towards, you know, conspiracy.
I just think something's up because you can't have all these bankers and people that are involved in money just, like, it would be kind of similar if, like I said yesterday, that if there's 32 owners in the NBA, the National Basketball Association, and 12 of them in 2 weeks just happen to kill themselves, you would think there'd be some kind of conspiracy because
right.
A dozen owners just don't kill themselves that work in the same industry.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, I don't know if you have any speculation. I guess this could be the speculation negative show for a few minutes. But it's just seems really odd to me. And I just feel it has something to do with an upcoming crash. And you might have people that aren't comfortable with people's money. You might have all these humane CEOs that don't feel as though they need to be death and destruction to everybody. And maybe you have all these bankers that don't want to partake in the new currency. Who knows? It's just, I don't know how to call it, but I know something's wrong. And I just feel as though every person that dies that's a CEO of a company like that or a CFO of a large bank, something in my head just tells me that there's going to be some kind of financial collapse. And these people don't want to be patsies for it. I just have that gut feeling, and I hope I'm wrong, but how else would you call it? It's not just... Yeah, I just don't think 10 bankers going down or 12 or whatever the number is now is coincidental.
Yeah, that is definitely scary, and I would definitely say you should, if you aren't now, I mean, have to definitely start prepping at this point.
Yeah. I would say at least get some extra supplies and stuff in the house, but
yeah,
I don't really know what else to. Obviously, you're in Georgia, I'm in Vegas, and what you might prep might be different than what I might prep for.
Right. Yes. And anyway, and if they're not, also I think also if you can also prepare yourself. Like I say, I'm still kind of in that transition, not really actively in that now, but I definitely do, and right now I'd say I do endorse this strategy of agorism with that, and I think that might be the only ways you can actually change, and if you can, it would be very helpful if you could actually be comfortable either way, whether the dollar does collapse, and even actually we're at a point where you're actually helping the dollar collapse and hoping for it. That would be a good thing.
Hey, I know you haven't done your training yet with us, but I try to take breaks between 5 and 10 after every half hour. Like,
oh,
right
yes.
Now,
oh, yes.
For me,
oh, yes, you mentioned
or
that.
Or 6:38, so I try to take a break between 35 and 40, and then I try to take another break between the 5 and 10 at the top of the hour. So we have a caller. We have two callers, actually, I see on the board. And may I talk you into hanging out for a couple minutes, and we'll take some calls?
Of course, yes.
All right. Well, I had to ask you first. You could have been a little shy. I don't know. I have to ask you. So, all right, so we'll come right back, and we'll get into it more back after this.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath Hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Did you know that there are literally hundreds of vaccines on the market or in development? Or that state legislatures around the country have been passing unconstitutional laws limiting your right to refuse vaccines? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout.
There is a new program on the Freedomizer Network, Bloody Beak Radio, punching the new world order in the nose. Bloody Beak Radio is here to inform you on a wide variety of topics revolving around current and recent events. The main thrust of the show is not just to inform you of the problems we face, but rather, how do we analyze them in a way that we can use to create counter-propaganda and use that knowledge in our everyday lives. In a sense, how do we market the truth? Bloody Beak Radio will give you the tools to win the information war so we can destroy the barriers that divide the people and have a peaceful revolution. Join your host, Kyle Baker, on Sunday evenings to have an honest discussion about how to win the numbers game and ensure that we decide the tipping point, not them.
All right, and on that note, welcome back here. Proof is here with our new Freedomist. Eric Bell is with us, and we have a caller. We have Justin from Indiana that wants to get into some Bitcoin discussion.
Yeah, I just heard you guys talk. Oh, I'm sorry. I just heard you guys talking about Bitcoins and how they could make it illegal. And that was something that I've been looking into here recently also. And they can't make the actual Bitcoin itself illegal, but what they can do and what I imagine they will do is make it illegal to turn it from Bitcoin into American currency. Russia's already made it illegal over there, as has, who else? Was it Tokyo? No, it wasn't Tokyo. Tokyo filed bankruptcy for their Bitcoin exchange. It was Vietnam. So you do have other countries already saying it's illegal, but they run a little bit different government than us. But I think the movement that we're going to be seeing is actually them turning around and saying, oh, you can have Bitcoins because they can't stop you, but you're not going to be allowed to turn it into American currency.
Does that help you out at all, Eric?
Yeah, I guess that does seem more feasible.
So I guess that goes along the lines, like I said earlier, if you wanted to have your roof done and pay someone in Spider-Man comics, that would be illegal too then.
Right. Yeah. Which... Yeah,
I think that would be a little bit different.
Bartering. We can't have bartering because bartering means you still have freedom.
Right. I think the difference is between the comics and the Bitcoins is that comics or, you know, whatever other currency you want to use for bartering is a tangible item that can be traced. You know, our government doesn't like anything that can't be traced.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Justin, I'm still trying to put two and two together here as far as these bankers go, and you have the founder of Bitcoin getting involved in a car chase today. I would say that's pretty interesting.
Oh, I agree, interesting. As far as who and what, I mean, I could speculate, but I don't have any definite, and I don't have any proof to back my speculation.
That's what I got here. Every avenue I've tried to research to see why this is, I haven't found an answer yet. I see causes, but I don't see whys.
Right. I think anytime you have something, in this instance Bitcoin, which is valuable on some level, you know, whether it be diamonds or whatever, and a person has a mass of them, obviously if he's the founder, he's got to have a bunch, and it can't be traced back. It just leaves for the criminal element to attempt to take it. Or, you know, people that have invested in Bitcoins, there's another option for you, that have lost their butt, like I said, with Tokyo's Bitcoin exchange collapsing and filing bankruptcy and all that deal. When all that's figured in, you got to figure he's had to have ticked some people off, even if you take the whole globalist aspect out of it.
Well, Eric?
Yes, sir.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to comment on that.
No,
I'm
trying
to get you used
to
being on the radio with us.
But yeah, that's but yeah, I'd say that definitely is feasible, and of course definitely did clear some things up. And I can definitely understand that. Yes, he did definitely piss some people off. Of course, in reading Joe Manchin's comments of what he's quoting, concerns of what like was disrupting the economy. Well, to say from definitely, as you said, from an average perspective, from that, I can say that was, I don't really know, of course, I don't know what his whole intent of what he was creating or his political philosophy, but that kind of was the point.
Yeah, Did you happen to see here recently where the TSA said they seen Bitcoin in, I can't remember who the individuals was, backpack?
Oh, yeah, they detained somebody for having Bitcoin on them. That was weird.
Right, and they said that they had seen it in his backpack, and that's why they stopped him. And I had a little chuckle because his response was, that's like saying that you've seen my, you know, my email in my backpack. You can't see a Bitcoin. I think anytime you have something that people don't understand, you're going to have a couple different people react to it in a couple different ways. You're going to have your people that's like, man, this is new, exciting, and jump on it. Then you're going to have your people that have no clue about it, so they're definitely afraid of it.
Yeah, which I was just wondering, I guess, if I don't know if any of you want to comment this. I was mainly surprised that it took so long that before we have anyone from the United States government actually wanting to ban it, though. I don't know if any of you have any take on that.
Well, me personally, I think it goes right back on the lines. There's so many people not educated on it, and I'm not fully. I own a little bit of Bitcoin. That was actually a gift to me. And to this day, I don't know much about it other than supposedly if I want to, I can turn it into a little bit of cash.
Yeah, I think I might have $4 or $5 U.S. worth of Bitcoin myself. And that's because if we are in the Blog Talk, not Blog Talk, but if we're in the FreedomizerRadio.com chat room, you get micro Bitcoins for typing in the chat room. So
hey, can I get off subject for a quick second?
Yeah.
Okay, that Freedomizer chat room. I've been on the site. I cannot find it. I don't know if I'm just blind. It's probably staring
me
in the face.
If you go to freedomizerradio.com, if you're able to, I can walk you through it right now. There could be listeners that are asking the same question, so I don't mind.
Okay. Give me 2 seconds. I'll be there.
Okay.
Okay, I'm on the site.
Okay, now look towards the right-hand side, and where we have to make this a little bit easier, and that's one of our goals in the upcoming week or so, is to make this a little stand out a little more. The chat room is on the right-hand side. There's a button that goes vertically instead of horizontally.
As soon as you said it, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as you said it, I seen it. I looked all over. I've been through all of your links. I could not find it, but I never looked that far to the right.
Okay. Well, I know I've heard that before, and we hear that because I get feedback all the time as well as our staff. So finding the chat room seems to be difficult for a lot of people. So if it's one or two people, I would say a user error is in play, but since it's many people, it's our user error, so we have to do something to make this a little easier.
Right, right. It just doesn't stand out hidden over there on the side.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to get it all figured out. We're in the middle of a site redo here, so we're trying to make everything work.
Okay, sorry to get off subject.
I was going to say I was tempted to dump the chat room and find another chat client, but people seem to like these micro Bitcoins, and if Bitcoin ever goes up in value back where it was, what was it, last month, over $1,000 for a Bitcoin. Hey, if this chat room is paying people in alternate currencies, I don't see a reason to dump it. Some people enjoy being in here, and I know people that have there's been lotteries every so often here where somebody makes like $10 worth of Bitcoin in one shot. So I don't want to deny people money.
I understand that.
There's no other chat rooms that take their Bitcoins and give them to the listeners. So if Bark is willing to do that, they're with me until it either doesn't work anymore or there's no Bitcoins to be had. So, Eric, well, I know you're new with us here. Was the chat room hard for you to find, or is it hard to navigate, or what do you think about it? Because this is something that we've had a meeting on behind the scenes.
No, I'd say it took me about 30 seconds to a minute.
I think I've seen you in there once or twice before, so I thought maybe you might have some commentary.
Well, I think I've actually contributed to, but I did, of course, I did register my name,
okay.
My name, and yeah.
Yeah, so the number that you have after whatever you type means that you've got some credits of some kind, whether it's a Satoshi all the way up to a millibit. So they just randomly happen. I have no control over it. It's not even my contest.
Nice.
But let me ask Justin, and if you have anything, Eric, feel free to piggyback here. I saw, going back to the Ukraine discussion that I was having yesterday, I see that the Crimea government voted to go back to being a part of Russia. Any clue as to why they would vote to go back to Russia instead of have their own sovereignty?
Well, if you look at the location of where it is and the fact that it was Russian and the fact that with the port and everything, that's where most of their trade's going, I couldn't tell you exactly, but I'm pretty sure, you got a couple things going on here. First, you got to pick your winning team.
Okay.
And if they're quicker to move and not cause trouble, then it'll be quicker to integrate. But number two, I imagine trade has a lot to do with it. I could look you up some stats, but I think it's pretty safe to say. I think it's pretty safe to say that most, if not, well, it wouldn't be all, but most of their money, as far as their jobs and stuff, are going to be in direct correlation with Russia and Russia trade. And most of them speak Russian anyway.
Well, I didn't think they'd be siding with Americans. I just was curious as to why they wouldn't try to just keep their own sovereignty.
Right.
I guess if that's where the money's at.
After talking to your guest last night, I got to digging into that a little bit more because I don't like to just stick with my own viewpoint. I'm one of those people that can admit when he's wrong and if I've been given false information. But I did find something that was that sparked my interest and has caused me to dig a little deeper in it. I want to say it was February of last year. The Russian Prime Minister talking about basically what's going on now, like he had foresight into it, and saying that he was going to, and he didn't want to scare people, but the actions that, if a nation was to take actions like what we're doing right now, that they would not hesitate to use nuclear warfare. Did you see that video?
No, I didn't. Eric?
No, I did not.
It's been floating around, like I said. I want to say it was February of last year. I'll kick it over into the chat room so other people can see it. But, I mean, just listening and reading the transcripts of what he's saying, I was like, man, it's like, because the video I seen originally was dated like it happened yesterday. But you know how that goes. Everybody likes to redate everything. So I tracked it back. And it was actually, I want to say February of last year, and just talking about how we've been dealing with other countries and not respecting their sovereignty.
All right.
Rush.
Eric, I know you tried to get in there and say something, so go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that, he pretty much, I couldn't say any better than the way Justin has elaborated on it. I think that, yeah, it is probably what he said, was like you wouldn't probably go with the winning team with this one. And I think with that, that's just, I guess, with they probably, the Crimea just probably thought there was just no other option with that.
Okay. So, Justin, what else do you have for us here?
For tonight, actually, I didn't come loaded with anything.
I know that I have Eric for another 5 minutes, I think, or so scheduled, and I want to make sure that he gets to plug anything he wants to plug. If you want to hang out afterwards, that's fine.
Oh, absolutely.
Eric is joining us here as a new host, and so I wanted to introduce him to everybody.
Awesome. Well, go ahead and mute me and let Eric speak.
All right, I'll bring it back when he's after we go to commercial.
No worries.
All right. So, Eric, I guess we got time for a few more minutes here. So I didn't know if you had any other stories you wanted to share or if you want to promote yourself a little bit more or whatever you want to do. The floor is yours.
Mine. Well, okay. That said, don't really go much more into politics or campaign. I'm kind of going more into more of a, I guess, more philosophical, but more, like I said, more of a moral philosophy. I'm myself. There will be, I guess, I do plan on interviewing Barrett Grayson. Of course, you know,
okay.
you might know him as T-Mod.
Yeah, T-Mod. Yeah, he's been on here before.
Yes. Of course, he's running for the U.S. Senate receipts. That's just being
right.
Vacated by Sassy Chambliss. And it should be pretty interesting. And
is he running against Paul Brown?
Yes, he's running against Paul Brown.
All right.
And yes, of course, as they know, that Paul Brown has got Ron Paul's endorsements. But
that's a tough battle right there, and I can't believe we have two quality candidates there.
I know that I know quite a few of my friends that have known Paul Brown supporters. I've worked rather closely with Ron Paul's campaign, but I'm not really ready to give him a full-fledged endorsement of Derek Grayson, but I would say that Paul Brown is really not that good of a quality candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all of Georgia's congressmen, but the exception of two Democrats voted for the National Defense Officer. So what?
Hank Johnson?
Yeah, Hank Johnson and John Lewis all voted for the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. And I guess a little bit about myself. Are you aware of the resolution of the NDA at the Georgia State Convention in 2012.
No.
Of course, you know about the. Of course, there's a resolution that would basically you would you would imagine all other conventions and resolutions. We said, well, it's unconstitutional. Yada yada yada. Please, Congress, repeal it. This, that, and other. Well, anyway, there's a delegate there that add an amendment to it that would have made it so the Georgia Republican Party would not endorse any candidates that supported that on the indefinite detention provision of that bill.
Okay.
And it was it did pass, and the whole resolution was tabled after they realized that it would have affected Mitt Romney. And that was me, by the way, that offered the amendments.
Okay,
I've
heard of bits and pieces of that because Mandy has a show with us, and of course Valerie Sergeant Martin used to be with us, and I didn't know the whole detail, but I remember bits and pieces. So, but obviously our broadcast is worldwide. But I do a lot of Las Vegas stuff on the air as well, since I live here. So definitely feel free to bring anything local like that, and hopefully you can obtain some local audience as well.
Right. Which,
And don't worry about being nervous. Your first couple or three shows, I don't expect you to win any prizes or any broadcast journalism awards. It would be like if I got a new job in Miami doing radio. I don't know where all the buttons are, and I don't know who's listening to me and who's not. So I wouldn't worry about if I'm not good enough or anything like that, because I chose you based on Valerie's recommendation, and with talking to you, I felt in my head that you're the right guy for the job. So welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. Well, of course, I will obviously still try for the best quality, and I like to do, and of course, I will be the very best that I can. I like to say that I will probably aim for probably might be maybe some of a blend of maybe Adam Kokesh and maybe Stefan Molyneux type things, and something where hopefully people will come and listen. They'll find freedom at the end of this, by the end of my each broadcast.
Hey, that's a good thing. So I'm very happy to have you here. All right, I see it's 5 after the hour here, so I'm going to grab my commercial timeout and roll into the sunset here. Thank you, Eric, and good luck on your new venture here with us, and I'm proud to have you as a Freedomist here.
Look forward to working with you, sir.
All right, thank you. I'm going to throw you back in the pond here. All right, we're going to start hour number 2 up here fairly soon, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Did you know that childhood diseases declined over 90% before vaccines were introduced? Or that the federal government pays out about $100 million a year for vaccine injury and death? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs.
That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes. Vote yes. Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, and on that note, welcome back to hour number two here with us. I have Justin holding over from Indiana from the last hour, and welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, so you're the caller here, so I'll let you pick the topic. I don't want to tell you what to talk about.
Actually, let's talk about what we started yesterday, and I told you that I'd get some more information and come back to it, about the executive order where the government could basically come in and take your stockpile of food and stuff when martial law is put into effect. I was able to track it down. It was entered in March 16th of 2012 by Obama, and it covers everything from food resources to energy, to transportation, water, all building and construction materials. But the big one that I noticed, there's a section 801. No, not 801. That's not the one I wanted. Section 501. All of us that work professionally, all of our work history is being compiled into a database. Did you know that?
Well, I know about the fusion centers, so I'm sure that even the keystrokes I'm making right now is in a database.
Right. Well, this database is put in into effect so that in time of war, in event of war, or any time that there was a problem, they can basically make you work for them with your with your skills that you already have. And it says, let's see, that means your entire work history is now stored and flagged in the national database, and you could be called on at any time and forced into service for national security reasons at a government-run institution or camp.
So I'm sure they know that me being the acting CEO of Freedomizer, that they would look at me as a whistleblower, so I'm sure they'll have a camp for me to do some pointless busy work in.
You know what? If we're right about all this and they actually start implementing all these camps, and if it gets to that point, I don't think me and you are going to have to worry about doing busy work, man.
Yeah, they don't want anybody to do what I do for a living, that's for sure.
Well, when I've had people come to me and say, why would you even risk it? Why would you even, you know, go out and speak openly against what's going on right now? You know, I have two beautiful kids, and that I turn around and tell them the same thing. That's the reason why I do it. You know, I don't want, you know, yes, there's always the risk, like the guy that wrote the 9/11 books, which I still think there was something deeper involved with that. You know what I'm talking about in California?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, with him and his daughters are missing.
Oh no, I'm talking about the whole family that got shot execution style, including the dog.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I think there was something deeper with that, but because of that, you know, I don't want my kids to grow up in America the way that I see us going, you know, and it's just like I said, you know, turning your eye and looking away from the evil happenings and not doing anything about it's just as bad as doing it yourself.
Hey, that's why I'm here.
Right.
And there's some months where we profit. There's some months where I'm shelling out and hemorrhaging money, but at this point, I don't care. It's more important to get for it.
And I wish more people would do it, so that's why I'm glad to see that you're expanding.
I would love to go 24 hours. With our server that we have, we're maxed out as far as hours go. I would have to buy a whole new to go 24 hours, which means I'll have to buy our 15 hours that we have all over again.
Right, right. And it's never cheap. Nothing's cheap anymore.
And
it's just going to get more
expensive.
And if it's
done overnight, it's kind of hard to justify the cost on that. I don't know how many people are going to listen at 3 in the morning.
Right. Well, especially with us dealing mainly, from what I've heard, you do some global, but most of it you're talking domestically.
Yes.
So. No, that's my biggie. I've just been, I don't know, I've talked for the last two nights and used up most of what I had to say.
Oh, that's okay. I'm all over the map when it comes to news, and then later on, there's not going to be any exception tonight. So there's a
right.
bunch of stuff, some New World Order-ish, some health and wellness, some whatever I feel like talking about, but that's the beauty of having a show here on Freedomizer. I don't tell people what to do.
Right, right. Hey, I do have a question for you as far as an insight, or maybe you know something I don't. With Russia going in like they have and stepping all over, why did their original president run off to Russia knowing darn well what Russia's plan was to do? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I know they got sanctuary, basically, for the time being, but why would he run to Putin, of all people?
Well, at the end, I don't know which direction the Ukraine, who would the Ukraine be fighting? And therein lies the question, I guess. So, is he worried about U.S. troops invading, kind of like Assad?
Well, I don't know that.
I don't have the answer to that.
Right. And I've been thinking about it. And the only thing I could think of, because Russia's using him as an excuse, they're not recognizing the new government, and they say, hey, I've got permission from the president to be doing what I'm doing. And I don't know if this guy thought that, you know, he's going to get something on the backhand from Russia, like, hey, everything's lost, at least all I can hope is that Russia will give me a position, or if it's that, you know, it could be something as deep as, you know, he's basically selling his own country out.
That would be, yeah, I could see that.
I just, for all the talk that's been all over the news and all over everything about Russia this and Ukraine that, we know why. They don't want us to know, but I cannot figure out the angle for that guy. And the other thing is, when he originally went over and he talked to Putin, and when he met up, he didn't get the fanfare that a president would get. He didn't get the big lavish meeting. He got basically a small little meeting, which I took as a sign of, hey, you're no longer president. But then Russia turns around and says, we've got the presidential's approval to be here doing this. So I can't figure out how you can have your cake and eat it too.
Well, maybe he decided, the Ukrainian president, if he gave up early, maybe they don't go after him.
Right, but to outright kill him would have caused utter chaos.
Oh, I agree. Whereas he was able to sell out, and I guess he gets to live in Russia happily ever after.
Right, right. He has to be getting something in return. I just, I can't figure out what it is yet, and I don't think we'll find out until the dust settles.
But I just don't see the United States doing too much over there. They can talk a good game, but what are they going to do? Pull troops out of somewhere else to automatically lose? Because there's no winning in the Ukraine.
And like I said yesterday, I don't know that outright war is where we need to go. I'm not a big fan of fighting a country that has more nuclear missiles than what we've got right now, especially when they've outright said we'll use them if we have to. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I still stand by we've got to do something. And it looks like we're gaining speed with getting some backing and putting some sanctions, but I just hate that America, we've gone to the point where we no longer can say, well, we're doing the right thing, because, oh, it's just like, I don't know if you're married, but it's just like your wife. You know how the woman holds on to something that you did 5 years ago, and when you get in your fight, that's the first thing that comes up?
Huh?
That's basically what all the other countries are getting to do to us right now. They're like, oh, yeah, well, you can't trust America because look at what they did in Iraq. You know, look at how they stepped in and fixed Egypt. Look at this. Look at that.
Libya.
Yeah, Libya. And so now it's gotten to the point where, you know, our government's made those hasty decisions and then didn't follow through to where now we don't even have any basis to say, yeah, but we're right this time.
Yeah, I don't see any positive here, and the more that Kerry and Hillary and Barry go out on a podium and speak, I just don't see it getting any better. You can't talk your way out of this, unfortunately.
And Kerry is so big for his britches, isn't he?
Well, you've heard me talk several times about my thoughts on him. I just think that they're really trying to make him the savior here, and I don't see it, but the whole world's supposed to be mesmerized with whoever sets this 7-year peace deal up, and if it's John Kerry, I just don't see it. This can't be true.
Right. You know, and the other thing is, I would think it'd be closer to be Kerry than Obama. I mean, as big of a nutcase as Kerry is, he still has a little bit of credibility, you know. And I like how his faux pas with, what was that? That was Syria. How now that turned out to where he negotiated that whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
When it was just him just speaking out of his rear end, and then we had to back it.
Hey, we have another caller here. Stick on here, because I think Critic might want to speak on a topic we're covering here. So, Critic, welcome in.
Yeah, not to really change subject so much, but I think it is kind of important, you know, not necessarily making it about one person, but it's something that I talked about on this show in general. But I see how the left-wing progressive media is all pissed off at Alex Jones because of the Tucker Carlson thing that he did, bringing up the fact that the Democratic Party was the original party of the KKK and the race baiting and you know, Jim Crow and all that stuff that happened back in the day. And I would talk about this on my show from time to time. And in fact, I used to play that clip on my show that T-Mott made about the making of a Democrat and how all that stuff came about and how blacks flipped from being Republican to Democrat and the whole process of how that came about. And I just bring this up because the fact is that what they're doing is the antithesis of what Martin Luther King called for. You know, he was about uniting everyone, and these people were about going around dividing everybody just for political expediency, and they just don't care anymore. And so they're mad at him for telling a truth that's been out in the open. And this is something that really pisses me off about the so-called blue blood Republicans, the so-called neocon Republicans that sit up here and talk about patty cake, you know, just be nice, you know, just talk about we're the party of pro-business and lower taxes and stuff, but they don't go into the meat and potatoes about stuff. When, you know, this is the actual truth about the fact that they helped pass the Civil Rights Act, and they kind of just whitewash it. They don't bring that fact up. And you have all your neocons, you know, through the years, your Rush Limbaughs, your Hannitys, you know, your Fox neocons, you know, some that used to be on this network, you know, you know, all these people that just, you know, basically with this message of play nice instead of just coming out with the truth and telling it like it is. So I'm glad he's hitting hard on this, because somebody needs to hit hard on the truth.
So I'm just still in shock here about how many of the Democrats or the people that are the progressive C's, as you call them, have no problem with dropping some people or troops into the Ukraine.
Well, because it's called, you know, humanitarian or kinetic action or is nuances. Or,
yeah, but
you know,
don't see troops in Myanmar.
Well, they're very selective about how they talk about that. That's just like over there in Libya, how they were so quick to demonize Gaddafi because he was, you know, on Obama's hit list, or, you know, because he didn't play patty cake or go along with them. But yet Gaddafi was basically up on a par with Hugo Chavez, which is the progressive C's hero that they were always talking about. I mean, as far as socialism, you know, he was up on a par, probably even better than Hugo Chavez in a lot of respect. But somehow he became the enemy. But, you know, Hugo Chavez was their friend. But, you know, but again, that just that's just the whole hypocrisy of the thing. But, you know, the truth needs to be exposed about them. And, you know, the fact that they just claim to have such the moral high ground of everything is just so sickening. And, you know, the thing with the race thing, I'm glad that they're hitting hardcore about that. And it's just, I just bring it up because it's something that I used to talk about. Just like the little factoid that most people don't know about Mr. Robert KKK Byrd, when he filibustered the Civil Rights Act in 1964, most people don't know what it is that he used to filibuster that with. It wasn't because he was objecting because of constitutional grounds. It's because he was a flat-out racist, and he used a study from a guy by the name of Boas claiming that the white brain was superior to the black brain because it weighed more. But yet most people don't know that. But then they'll tell you that Strom Thurmond filibustered it. Now, I am not aware of anything in the congressional record that suggests that. But, you know... You know, I don't think you can go wrong with telling the truth, you know, just being straightforward as far as that's concerned. And not and being unapologetic about it, too.
Well,
Justin,
and,
any thoughts on that?
Well, and along the same lines, it's always the squeaky wheel that gets the oil, which is basically what you're saying. And, the play nice and let's be politically correct, those days got to come to an end. And the big one that I'm seeing unfold on today is with the news talking about, and it's crazy because all the news sources are doing it with the immigration law and the Mexicans immigrating here into America, not just Mexicans, but that's the culture that they keep specifying on. And them widely talking about, well, they're going to be Democratic, and you hear a lot of your Republican speakers talk about that. But what I think everybody fails to look at is with the vast majority of Mexican immigrants being Catholic and being pro-life and everything like that, I can't see how they could come over and be Democratic. And the news just portraying that and Republicans not stepping up and speaking about it, it's going to come to be to a certain extent where they think, oh, well, I should be, you know, because everybody wants to be part of their original group. So if it's widely foreseen as that's what it is, and I'm right with you, you know, if you're right, you should have the right to stand up and say you're right. And I think when you play race into the whole mix, a lot of your people are just so afraid to say something if they're not of an ethnic background because of it seeing as racist or, you know, acting like a superior, like your superior. But if it's right, it's right. If you did good, you speak about good. So I'm right on the same page with you.
Well, I'll correct you on one little thing about that you can't see them being Democratic and not Republican. Well, it's for the same reason that blacks have been in large majority voting for Democrats for the last 50 years, because when you promise and give them a bunch of free goodies and free hand-me-outs and welfare and you know, all of this stuff and free medical and stuff, which is what they're doing with the immigrants and something like that, yeah, you know, they bribe the voters. It's the same way that they did with the Great Society in the 50s and in the 60s, and LBJ signing the Civil Rights Act instead of bringing people over that party trying to make it like they were trying to right wrongs of the last 100 years, when in fact it was just for political expediency. And that quote that he made was right about, we'll have these ends voting for Democrats for the next 200 years. Well, it's the same concept with the Mexicans and all these other immigrants that are coming over. You know, you promise them a little handouts or something like that, and you get them in your corner. So that's how you would get it.
Right, and I understand that viewpoint, and I completely agree that that's been a problem in the past. What I think we're going to see happen now is people can see that the free candy being handed out by the man in the van, they know that he wants something else. I think that more people are opening their eyes to, yep, you're promising me this, but how are you going to do it? I mean, news is worldwide now. And that's why whenever we start talking about politics as far as the news goes and starts talking about how weak our power grid is and all this, I mean, it makes me shudder, because all over the world people are seeing that. You know, I try to stay as far away from American news as I can because it is so biased, and other countries too, and try to go for your independent sources. But I don't know. I call me naive, but I've got faith that man's opening their eyes, and I got faith that that people are starting to see that you can't keep giving away something for nothing. There's always going to be something on the backhand.
Well, I think some are waking up, but you've got some that are just hopeless that you can't save. And, you know, we've had those that have called in on this network. We had I don't know if he still calls in or not, but there was a regular Obama defender that, you know, Obama could do no wrong. And, you know, everybody was racist that didn't agree with him and all that kind of. So there's some that you're just not going to be able to reach no matter what. Which, you know, you just have to move on. But, yeah, there are people that are waking up.
Right, and the response to that, because I've bounced into that a lot, where if you disagree, then you're racist, and you're automatically racist. And I can't remember who I heard say it, but it's kind of the philosophy that I've stood behind since I've heard it. Whenever I'm speaking politics and the other individual or the other party immediately goes to, well, you must be racist, you hate Obama, so on and so forth. I mean, I don't even dignify it with the response. I just let them know that they're obviously uneducated, because by defending ourselves, we're just allowing the movement to continue on. We shouldn't have to defend ourselves. Race is not an issue when it comes to me. And if you knew me in my personal life, you'd know definitely that's for sure. But right. when it all boils down, I just hope that by more people getting out and speaking. I mean, we have 2 years to get this. Well, no, we really have about a year to get people to start realizing what's going on. And that's why I think we just got to, and we can't give up hope.
Well, and that's where the truth comes in again. You know, stop apologizing and talking about I'm not a racist and blah, blah, this and that. And, you know, you've had people that have come on, some black commentators that have come on and basically say the same thing. T-Mon of Georgia talks about that. You know, E.T. Williams and some of these people, stop defending. Point out the fact this is where the truth comes in. Now, this is the same stuff that Bush was doing, but upon steroids, and you hated it under Bush, but you love it under Obama. It's like what Proof was talking about a minute or two ago with these wars, you know. But now it's okay under Obama. I mean, you know, point out the hypocrisy and be a hypocrite and point out the hypocrisy. You know, don't apologize. That's what I used to do. And I used to actually have a longer name for so-called what I call now progressive thieves cleaning up the name. I used to call them fake, two-faced, phony-ass liberals, but that was too long, and then I realized they're really not liberals. They like to call themselves progressives, and I use the female genitalia part of it because that's really how they behave, so the name is, you know, appropriate for them. But, you know, aside from the fact, you know, call them out on their hypocrisy, you know, tell them, hit them with the truth, you know. Truth is like kryptonite to these people. They can't handle it. You know, they scurry like little cockroaches. And that's what you have to do is just you have to hit them with the truth and barrage with them, stop apologizing for it, and be like a street fighter. Because these people are using all kinds of street tactics, and they're not going to play nice. So why should you? Thinking that you're going to get anywhere and appease these folks, and you're not. And that's the mistake that a lot of so-called conservatives will make. That's what these fake neocons will tell you, the blue bloods and all of these people. Stop listening to them. You know, stop them, because this is the reason, one of the reasons that we're in the situation that we're in because of that kind of nonsense.
Right, and for those people that are going to be running, that's the best advice you can give them. Because we know that the media is going to turn around and turn against them. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's just like they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity. When they turn around and they make fun of, oh, we'll use Alex Jones as an example. I didn't even know who Alex Jones was until the media started belittling him and calling him crazy. And I still don't believe everything he says, of course. I don't believe everything anybody says. But just by hearing that made me open my eyes to start looking into other stuff. And, you know, that's just how we work. You're going to pique that interest. You know, they use that same theory just to sell records, you know, and to sell movies.
That's the thing, you know, using Alex Jones as an example, when he blew up at Piers Morgan about the gun thing, and, you know, they're sitting up there lying, talking about they're not after the guns, and, you know, it's just these right-wingers and Tea Party overreacting. But look at what they've been doing, passing legislation, gun registration, now turning
it into... Yeah, they're putting people's names and phone numbers in the... they're just printing them in the Sunday papers in various cities. And how is that not threatening?
Not only threatening, but it's an invasion of privacy.
Or is he referred to as Mayor Doomberg working with Facebook trying to ban, you know, people's accounts, you know, posting pro-gun, you know, talk and things. I mean, yeah, but they're not after him, you know. That's the thing. No, you just have to be out front with them and call them out for what they are. Stop apologizing for telling the truth or the kind of, or the way that it comes out sounding or, you know, if it comes out sounding loud. I'm sorry, but, you know. The truth isn't always the pretty thing. Sometimes the truth is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and if we're gonna fight this next election, this next major election, if we're gonna fight, we have to take the gloves off. You know, because if they go with the same rigmarole and just keep pussyfooting around with it, if they just continue going down that path. I tell you what, man, we're going to have nothing to fight for. I don't know that we can. I don't know that we can make it through another president like the president we have now.
Well, and I have to tell you, and I think that that was probably the legitimate criticism, one of the legitimate criticisms of Ron Paul, that he was too polite at times. And I tend to agree with that sometimes, that he didn't take things off enough like he should have. So I would think that that's legitimate, and I just think that, you know, whoever is going to run for president, I mean, I'm not into the Republican-Democrat thing. I mean, I just, you know, but whoever is going to get out there just really needs to be unapologetic for it. And, you know, because they're going to ridicule you anyway, so, you know, you might as well just go all the way.
Yeah, well, you can do right without sounding like a hippie. And I think that was Ron Paul's deal, was everything was about love and peace. You know, sometimes you've got to fight for what's right. And I'm not talking about necessarily war, but just like you saying, with him being too nice, not only do they not have to be too nice, but they got to watch their wording, you know, to be taken seriously. What America wants more than anything is a strong leader, and whether it be for the good or for the bad, or for the good or the evil, the strongest the next person that runs for president, the strongest one with the most appeal is going to be the one that wins. So hopefully they'll look into that. And they'll come out and they'll speak their mind and not worry so much about censoring themselves, because when you're uncensored, the truth comes out. When the truth comes out, people will respect you for it.
Yeah, but I guess if you're a Democrat, you can mess up a lot more. And the media is behind you. They want to accept you regardless. So you have to really mess up in order to be a Democrat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You get plenty of free passes that route.
And look how much Clinton screwed, well, with the current Democrat that's in office now, but even before, you know, the media pretty much gave Clinton a pass to, you know, all the, well, really wasn't about, you know, the Klinsky matter, or, you know, Monica Gate or whatever you call it. I mean, you get other things, but he got a pass. You know, Obama is getting a pass. You know, even Carter. I remember back in the day did some things that he got a pass for in the media. You know, it's just, and, you know, LBJ, you know, they try to canonize him, and, you know, that's why I'm glad that
well, look at Hillary with Benghazi. She gets a pass.
Yeah.
She gets a pass as far as the media is concerned, but I think that's still strong in a lot of Americans' hearts.
Well, not only that, not only does she get a pass, but she's portrayed as the poor put-upon victim, or she's hated because she's a woman. See?
Mm-hmm.
They play that card with her.
Yeah, I think Rice got a bigger pass than Hillary did.
You know, I just say she's hated because she's a bitch, but that's, you know, that's too simplified, you know, amongst other things, because, well, she's hated because she's done a lot of evil things and a lot of heinous things.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, I hope if Hillary runs again, that clip of her saying, "Who cares who did it? We have Americans," you know what I mean? I hope that gets played over and over and over and over until we're just tired of seeing it. Because I really think that's all it takes to take Hillary down.
John Kerry is among the favorites.
It's just hard for me to believe that they're that arrogant to stick her up in front again. I mean, you know, with all of their baggage, the Clintons, you know, and the Clintonistas and all that, it's just hard for me to believe that, you know, they're just that arrogant to parade her out again.
See, but I hope they do, because I think she'll be our easiest way to win.
Well, no, because the other side is headstrong on putting Jeb Bush out there. So if they throw Jeb Bush out there, then I don't see that being a positive either.
No, I agree with you there.
or what's his face, Krispy Kreme out there, or he's even talk of a Rubio running and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, the same establishment hacks over and over again. But I mean, at least if you're going to put somebody that's, you know, an unknown, I mean, you know, at least that they, I'll give the Democrats credit in 2008, at least they did it right with Obama because nobody really knew who he was before. So it's just hard for me to believe that, or it's just hard to imagine that they're just that arrogant or stupid to trot her out again. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I could be wrong, but, you know, it's just, you know, at least find a new face.
Right.
And the same thing goes with the Republicans, too. You know, I'm sick and tired of Bushes. You know, what are we going to have, a third generation of that? Or, you know, Krispy Kreme and all of his nonsense. I mean, what's next? They're going to put McCain out there again? I mean, you know, enough.
Actually, according to the Drudge Report, McCain was voted the least liked senator in the United States.
As far as I'm concerned, he's the most insane senator in the United States. Well, he and Harry Reid are probably up there on the top.
Oh, I'm sure they're one and two.
But, you know, at least if you're going to try to hide evil, you know, at least give us somebody, you know, new. But, you know, I guess they're just really that arrogant to, you know, think that everyone wants to keep, you know, voting for these dynasties. And I guess some people are that stupid enough to fall for that. But, I don't know. Like I said, again, I don't think you can go along with just pounding the truth in these people's faces and not apologizing for stuff. And not apologizing for the tone or the language or something, because people are going to criticize you no matter what. But, you know, just like when I would do it, I didn't apologize for it. You know, the truth is the truth, and I don't care who it's been. And as proof will tell you, I was an equal opportunity offender on the network. You know, both sides didn't like me. You know, both contained sides, at least anyway, controlled sides didn't. I don't know about everybody else, but...
So, Critic, anything else on your mind tonight, Ingram?
No, I wanted to point that out because, you know, I think it's something that needed to be pointed out. And it's just, you know, we're just at such a point where we're just divided on everything and racial tension is just so much, just at its peak. It seems like it's worse than what it was back in the day, 60 years ago. And, you know, I'm just glad that somebody now is just getting hardcore exposing, you know, the root and where a lot of this stuff came from, because people need to understand the history, and they don't really understand the history. They've just gone with the official narratives that have been told. And, you know, when you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it again. So, you know, I'm glad that that somebody is going after this hardcore.
Okay. So, Justin, you have anything else as well?
Not on that subject. I sure don't. I think we...
Well, I mean, I don't mind switching subjects. We just got about 12 to 15 minutes before I take a commercial, so I was trying to stretch it out, I guess, if you guys wanted to stay on. Otherwise, I'd get into news.
I look forward to hearing your news.
Okay. How about you, Critic?
Yeah, I can stay on for the segment. You can switch the topics. I just, you know, like I said, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was important.
Okay. All right. Well, Justin, I'm going to go ahead and throw you back in the pond here. I appreciate you being with us and hanging out with Eric and getting him a little more comfortable with being on air with us.
Not a problem. It was nice talking to you, Critic. And thank you, Proof.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, let me go ahead and handle that. So, Critic, I guess you want me to go over some articles here?
Yeah, you can go over what you got.
All right. Well, trust me, there's no shortage here, and including one that comes to us by way of Canada. And let me share here. Putting it in the FreedomizerRadio.com chat room. And, all right, let's see here. My wife actually sent me this, and she sends me things every so often. There's a kid out of Canada, and I'm in the middle of posting right now here on Spybook. Just trying to wait patiently here. There we go. A 2-year-old was suspended from daycare for a cheese sandwich. And I'm reading out of CBS in Atlanta. That's my source. A 2-year-old was suspended from daycare today for bringing a cheese sandwich to school. The school has a strict no outside food policy. Randy Murray says he didn't know his daughter had food with her until it was too late. And he says she must have snuck a cheese sandwich into her pocket, into her hand, and nobody saw it and went into the classroom. And by the time she was two steps in, one of the teachers saw it, handed it back to me, and the next thing I know, we're suspended for 3 days. The daycare says that this no outside food policy is there to protect the children. And also, there might be workers with food allergies. Critic, you buy any of this at all?
Yeah, it's the same Chicago-less garbage. You know, of course, they can serve all the GMO crap that they want to the kids. They're supposed to just sit there and eat that, but, you know, they can't bring anything outside that they want, whether it's healthy or not healthy, you know.
Well, that's along the same concept here. When I was reading the article this afternoon, I was thinking to myself, Critic, there's in Vegas, do you remember an old casino named the Nevada Palace right by Sam's Town?
Well, I knew where Sam's Town was. I don't, that name doesn't sound familiar, though.
All right. Well, now it's the East Side Cannery, and my parents took me to a breakfast buffet there about a year ago. And they have the omelet station right next to a Mexican station. And so I asked for an omelet, and the cilantro is literally in the box of items next to the omelet station. So I asked if they could put some cilantro in my omelet, and she said there's absolutely no way that she can do that, nor am I allowed to put it in because it's behind the counter. And she said that there could be allergies in relation to cilantro, so therefore they're not responsible if I wanted cilantro in my omelet. And both of my parents are vegetarians, and I asked, well, my parents are vegetarians, and my mom's standing right in front of me. What if you made an omelet with bacon right before my parents, and all you did was wipe it really quick and start making the next omelet? And what if my parents didn't appreciate the bacon because you don't know if they're allergic. You don't know why they don't eat meat. And she said, well, that's different, because this is stuff that is approved to go into breakfast food. I just found the argument so stupid that I decided that the best way to solve that issue is to never go back there again. And it's been about a year and a half, and I've kept my end of the bargain up. I even put it on Yelp.
Well, again, you know, they feed you all the toxic stuff, and that's okay. You know, they're not worried about those allergies, but, you know, you raise something legitimate.
Well, let's just say I didn't order eggs on purpose knowing that I could be allergic to eggs, and then I can sue them.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. There are a lot of people that do have allergies to eggs and, well, at least to dairy eggs.
Yeah.
Suzanne Summers, as a matter of fact, is one of them that does, that, you know, I forget what it was exactly that it does to her or something, but, yeah, there are a lot of people that, you know, can't eat regular dairy eggs. So, I mean,
right.
You know, that's stupid. So, you know, it's this whole thing in the nanny state wanting to control you and controlling your kids, but they can feed you all the crap that they want.
I got someone
you know.
Fired once at the Orleans. That was pretty funny. I remember about 10 years ago, I was still married to my first wife. It might have been 11 or 12 years, but we went to the Orleans. You remember that place?
Yeah.
Once again, my parents being vegetarians, and my mom was trying to find the scoop for the mashed potatoes, and there was none, so my mom's standing right next to me, and so I asked the guy behind the counter for the for a scooper for the mashed potatoes, and he takes it right out of the fried chicken and sticks it in the mashed potatoes. And I said, well, my mom is a vegetarian. That's not going to work. And he basically just shouted a bunch of profanities at me and laughed at me for talking about vegetarians. So the guy offered when I said that wasn't funny, he offered to meet me outside in 15 minutes. And so I just told the manager and of course, he said, yeah, he admitted to everything that he said to me. And so, yeah, he was asked to turn in his apron, and I don't know where he's working now, but I know it wasn't the Orleans. But I don't know why it was that important to act like an ass just because you're the guy behind the counter.
Was he on dope?
I don't know, but why would you own the fact that yes, I contaminated the food, and I don't care. Even if I'm not a vegetarian or my mom's not a vegetarian, I've worked in restaurants before, and you can't mix meat with meatless items. You can't do it. It's a violation, a serious violation.
Well, I was about ready to say, yeah, there is some code. It is a violation against doing that, especially
that's
when
like, if you say you took roast beef with a pair of tongs, and then you took a piece of rotisserie chicken. That's a health violation as well, because you can't even mix meats, even if they're cooked. You can't mix them.
Well, I noticed this at the grocery store when I was at the fish counter or something like that, and then I wanted something from the lunch meat counter that the woman had to change her gloves because of the fish and stuff being raw, so they can't mix the two. So, but
right.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this guy was just plain stupid, or maybe he was on drugs. I don't know.
He offered to fight me, so he couldn't have been that stupid, I guess.
Well, he couldn't be all that brilliant either if his job didn't mean that much to you, or, you know, he's talking about fighting customers.
And between my family and my ex-wife's family, there were 13 of us, and we ended up having our whole bill comped. So it cost them about $150 to comp 13 people.
Well, I don't know. I think the guy wasn't playing with a full set of cards or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you're just going to own the fact that you offered to fight a guy because you violated food violations.
And, you know, there are people that are allergic to chicken, well, especially the kind that's got the growth hormones and stuff to it. And,
oh, I know.
And, you know, there are people that are allergic to matter of fact, I do know somebody who is allergic to beef and pork. They can't have either one of those products. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, it's, you know, the government pick and choosing what's a legitimate concern and, you know, what they want you to have. So.
No, and just think if that was today, there's a lot of people that it's hard to get a job these days, and to get a full-time job working in a buffet is kind of a big deal for people, so you won't see that too much anymore.
No, not if they, if they're trying to make a living or survive, no, that you wouldn't. I guess, you know, to this person, he really didn't care much, or maybe he was trying to get another job or on his way out.
Maybe he didn't think I would say something.
Well, who knows? Of course, then again, it's Las Vegas, and there are a bunch of nuts running around there, too. So, I mean, who knows? It was stupid is what it was. But it's all part of this nanny state stuff, you know. Chicago, they don't allow you to bring kids to bring lunches from home when, you know, when we were kids.
Yeah, I know. And they try to say it's because of allergies, but they're feeding the same exact food, except ours might be organic or an unauthorized brand. For example, you might have brought in Hydrox cookies, where the school has a $200,000 grant, or the district does, from Nabisco. So you can't have Keebler or Hydrox in there.
I don't know if they do them now, but back in the day they used to serve them on nasty, lard-filled peanut butter cookies and stuff. And now you got half of these kids and half of these people claiming, you know, allergies to peanuts, things like that. So, you know, where is the evenness in that?
Well, there isn't. It's just that people will go out of their way a lot of times to prove that they're better than you. So that's why they do stuff. As long as they can prove that they're better, and maybe he just thought that some guy that has long hair with T-shirts and shorts isn't going to stand up for himself because I've had long hair since junior high school, and I might have people walk up to me and ask me if they could buy a joint off me because of the fact of I have a long hair, and people might think that I might be of that persuasion. So they feel as though I could be an easy mark. I'm not 6'4 and weigh 350 pounds and look like I could body slam someone, so sometimes people feel as though they can get the best of somebody just because of how they look.
You know, I've had people start stupid fights with me over stuff like that, and my hair is not long, so I don't know if it was because of that or whether they were just plain stupid and a fool, which I tend to think that that's what it was. But, you know. I just find it amazing how they think that the state can dictate, you know, what your kids can eat. And it's very funny how they talk about fat content, but didn't the food babe tell us about Michelle Obama recommending Lunchables for kids' lunches? And, you know the fat content and all the GMO that those things have.
Well, in the schools, there's schools that want to ban Hansen soda because it has natural cane sugar, but you can bring in all the Diet Coke you want.
Well, I remember back in the day, they didn't allow us to bring. So, well, unless you brought your own lunch, I guess you could, but they never served soda to kids. In fact, the only pop machine that I ever remember was in the teacher's lounge. But outside of that, they didn't, you know, typically, you couldn't bring that stuff in.
Right.
Of course, I always brought Kool-Aid, but, you know.
Yeah, like that's, well, it's slightly better, I guess, but back then, they would have told you the Kool-Aid was less healthy.
Well, they would have told her that, but I never could stand the milk. And I hated, if I did drink milk, it was always the plain milk because I could never stand the chocolate milk for some reason. Never could stand it. And of course, we know that that's not healthy for you either.
Well, although I have to say, I'm sure it was healthier 30 years ago we might have been in elementary school than now.
Well, we've mentioned this before. Back in the day, you know, if they did have people actually come in and cook the slop that they used to serve the kids back then. So it was actually home, or, you know, it was actually cooked right there on site. Now
I like how you called it. Yeah, they home cooked the slop. That is true.
I mean, there were some things that were okay that they would serve, but most, you know, but at least,
well, I just remember, Critic, that at least you knew that on Friday and you had school lunch, the pizza wasn't terrible. But, oh, my kids complain if they don't have their lunch ready. I don't make their lunches anymore. They can make their own. So if they don't make lunch, that's what they get. And they complain when they get the pizza. That's like the worst thing on the menu these days.
That used to be one of the better things that they had on the menu. It's gotten to that bad now. Good Lord.
Well, you realize, too, that they do have a lot of tacos and burritos and things like that. And I'm not trying to be funny here, but that's at least twice or three times a week they will have stuff in the Hispanic realm.
Well, they had that back then too, but I don't think they had it.
Yeah, but not as often.
Yeah, in our school on Fridays it was always Fish Fridays because we had a high Catholic population. It was either fish or macaroni on Fridays. But, I don't even want to think about what the kids even get to eat today in the school, because I can imagine it's probably 10 times worse than what we have.
Mm-hmm.
The government approved it, and the FDA approved it, so I guess it must be okay.
Well, yeah, that's why they allow aspartame, but at the same time, Coca-Cola tries to be responsible and make a soda with stevia, and they're told no.
And you would think that they would, try to use their influence to push going back to actual cane. Or exceed, because, you know, they're the ones complaining about their soda sales have fallen significantly in recent years, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you go to these convenience stores and stuff, if you notice that the soda sections are a lot smaller than what they used to be. But, of course, then it's replaced with all these energy drinks and stuff. But then some of it is with the bottled water. But you would think that they would catch on. And I've noticed that a lot more stores now are carrying the sodas with the pure sugars. And like we talked about the other night when Larry was on about the Jarrito soda, and, you know, I see a lot more of the specialty bottled sodas and stuff like Jones's or Stewart's or something like that that, you know, don't have all that high fructose corn stuff. But you would think the Coke and Pepsi would get wise, but evidently not, or they don't care.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if they care or not, because, like I said, Coca-Cola tried to make a soda with stevia, and the Fraud and Death Administration shot it down. So either it was that bad, or they didn't want that going out.
Well, they can make it with the cane sugar like they used to, but, you know, they don't do it unless it's the Mexican Coke, you know. You can get it that well, depending on where it's made.
Right.
You know, these other sodas
have
them.
Well, for now, they're still fighting that. Monsanto's still trying to get into Mexico, so as long as Monsanto is not allowed in Mexico, then they can't have the high fructose in the sodas.
but, you know, again, you know, consumers are voting with their dollars that they don't want that stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great, though, that the Mexican farmers will stand up more so than the American farmers, it seems.
Well, American farmers get all the, well, the big agri farmers get all those subsidies, and, you know, they're told not to grow, only grow so much, or get paid not to grow things and stuff. So it's the smaller organic ones, the thing is that they have to work harder at putting together a network and banding together.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are doing that, but, you know, you need to spend more time networking and doing that.
Hey, I don't know if you follow Zevia Soda at all, speaking about soda, but the Zevia company changed their formulas in a bunch of their sodas. They're doing now a blend with stevia and monk fruit. The Sugar of the Raw company now sells monk fruit in the raw. It is from China, but allegedly it's organic. And China just now allowed Sugar in the Raw to get their hands on it. It's up until very recently, and for the most part, it's still forbidden to take out of the country. But allegedly,
you know,
that's what China uses to sweeten their products inside, and not for export, but just to keep in their own country.
You know, I don't know when they changed their sodas. You know, I've had them before. I don't like them as well as the other ones because they always seem to have a bitter aftertaste to it. And I don't know if it's the exceviant that's in them or not. But,
now, I have to admit, there are some that just taste downright horrible, but there are a few. The cream soda is good. The ginger ale I like a lot. Actually, the ginger ale might be my favorite, a ginger ale ever. But as far as, like, lime cola that they tried and grape and strawberry, it's a tough sell, and I think that's why they're changing their formulas.
Yeah, I don't like the grape, and I don't like their orange that they have. And
yeah, their orange tasted like St. Joseph's chewables.
Yeah. See, I always either like the Blue Sky or Hanson's or, you know, the bottle ones, like either Jones or Stewart's or
mm-hmm.
Knee-High. And I'm trying to get, what's the other one? Thomas Kemper.
Do they still make Knee-High?
It's, I forget what the company is that bought it, but, yeah, there are some places that actually sell it. It's called, what is it called now? It's not Knee-High, it's Nesbitt. Nesbitt owns it, or that's what it's called
okay.
now, it's Nesbitt. But they sell the same kind of flavors Knee-High used to, like peach and orange and strawberry.
Okay.
And grape. Well, you know, actually they were making Knee-High about 10 years ago because there were some places that were selling it, but it's called
Nesbitt. I remember that. But I don't know if you're a beer connoisseur, but I was reading about how the Löwenbräu name was sold several times in the last 10 years, and there's been talk about a revival of the Löwenbräu beer. I remember the commercials.
Couldn't tell you one beer from another. It's all the same to me. Yeah, I remember the commercials.
I don't drink, but I remember the commercials as a kid.
Now, I remember some of the generic kind of beers because my father used to drink, well, he used to drink beer, but he used to drink like he used to call it Olympia was the
okay.
brand he used to make. But I remember stuff like Pabst Blue Ribbon and Hams and Rheingold
beer. My dad,
beer
maybe two or three times a year, used to buy Schaefer beer, and that was it.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. But yeah, a lot of those, most of those, I guess, got bought up by either Budweiser or what's the other one?
Miller?
Yeah, Miller. Or something like that, so they don't really have, you know, the independents like that anymore. The other independent, like Rainier, was another beer.
Well, see, where I was at back east, there was Labatt's, there was Moosehead.
Yeah, I remember Labatt's, too, and Moosehead. And,
I only know
yeah,
it because I used to work in a grocery store, so I got to see it doing go-backs and things like that.
Now, I don't know if their distillery process was different from the big brewers like Miller and Budweiser, but, you know. And I don't know what the ingredients are in there and stuff like that. I don't even know. Do they put aspartame in beer? They put it in everything else.
I have no clue. I have to say that I've never looked at a label.
No, I just wonder because they seem to put aspartame or high fructose corn syrup and everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me if they put it in beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's I don't know. So what else have you got news-wise?
Well, I was wanting to ask your opinion before you left here, and not that I still have 45 minutes, so stay as long as you like. But did you see that trial with Lois Lerner from the IRF?
I kind of heard about it. I didn't really see it. But, that goes to
she's pleading the fifth all over the place, and you have congressmen and senators that are just going crazy because you're a government entity. You can't plead the fifth on everything.
Well, Congress has the power to issue a bench warrant for her arrest. But, you know, again, that's just
But let me ask you, though, is it just Congress or does the Senate have that ability also?
Well, I know Congress does. I'm not sure about the Senate, but Congress does have the authority to issue a warrant out for her arrest for refusing to answer those questions in a congressional hearing. But it just goes to show you how these parties are joined at the hip again and why they don't do nothing. And it goes to what we were talking about earlier. If you're a Democrat, you can seem to get away with these kind of scandals and not face any kind of consequence.
But I guess you raise my point because instead of grilling the CEO or the person in charge of the IRS by themselves, I think whoever was trying to influence those decisions should be in there and even more charges.
Well, it just goes to show you don't hold your breath to expect old John Bonehead to to exert any kind of authority. That he has
mm-hmm.
the power to issue a warrant for her arrest, and he isn't going to do it. But, yeah, they just openly, admit to lie, and then they get to continue to keep doing it. And,
so are you saying you don't expect much to happen from this trial?
Well, not as long as you got John Bonehead that's
mm-hmm.
that's the Speaker of the House, you know. You get somebody in there that means business and will go after them. Now, a lot of people say, you know, that Bob Barr is, would do it. I don't know. Like I said, I don't really trust him, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to actually go in there and, kick ass and take names. But that's one way that Congress could exert their power, issue a warrant for her arrest. Because she's in contempt, and they get a pass by not answering these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Let you or I try something like that. What do you think would happen?
Oh, I know. Hey, Critic, there's another caller here. I want to grab them. Do you mind if I take a caller?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. David, using an unlisted number, is on with us here. Welcome in.
Hey, honey. You know, I was interested in this whole issue of fake food, and you know, the very idea you were talking about these various types of sweeteners, and I wanted to actually tie in some of the fake food to, for example, you were talking about beer a couple of minutes ago, and
right.
if you realize how beer is made, basically you take yeast and you feed it sugar. And you mix it with some kind of liquid, in this case a kind of a tea, you know, of hops and barley and whatnot to make beer. And that yeast eats up the sugar and then farts, and that's what the bubbles are. And so when you try to feed aspartame to yeast, a single-celled creature knows better, and it can't eat aspartame because aspartame is not truly a sugar. And if I remember right, even the corn sweeteners don't fool single-celled creatures. But as for humans, multi-celled creatures, I'm not sure if it's aspartame that's the way that some of these artificial sweeteners work. They're basically they've got little tiny particles with razor sharp edges. And they trick your tongue into thinking it's sweet when, in fact, it's cutting your tongue. And it's really interesting that they'd be able to, you know, get that past the Food and Drug Administration, because not only does it cut your tongue and trick your taste buds into thinking it's sweet, but it does the same all the way down your gullet. And so it's basically, you know, sharding your insides as you drink this aspartame. And
if I can just interject here real quick before the topic gets changed, and I was hoping to give you time to rebuttal. Now, I have to admit, I've never seen aspartame on a label of bread, but most bread does have high fructose corn syrup, and of course, most bread also has yeast. So I know those two work together, but you are right, I believe, on the aspartame.
Okay. Yeah, I think that they probably still use sugar to activate the yeast, but if I understand right, corn sweetener is not actually a type of sugar. It's also, it may not have the sharp edges, but it also has, as far as I understand, it has no nutritious value, and a true sugar would have nutritious value, or some sort of a caloric value. So you will gain calories from sugars, but as far as the way that you get fat from doing the corn sweeteners, it's also, I think if I remember right, it's sort of a blockage. I'd have to study that a little more, but if I remember right, it tricks your body into absorbing more liquids, and so you're basically tricked into absorbing liquid, and that's how you get fat, but you're not actually gaining weight from some sort of a nutrient. You're gaining weight because your body is being tricked into absorbing liquids. So it's sort of like it forces your body to be swollen, and you know, it's as if it's bruising it and on the inside, and it's.
I'll piggyback on what you're saying here, but I don't know how long you've been listening to the Proof Negative show or Freedomizer in general, but
this year, first show, yeah.
Oh, is it okay? Where are you listening to us from? Are you on our website?
I'm out in California.
Or on Blog Talk or?
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, because we do most of our broadcasting on our website, which is freedomizerradio.com, and we also have a micro Bitcoin giveaway in the chat room there. So if
okay.
The chat room's opened on Blog Talk Radio, it's not monitored. I don't even know if it's on or not.
Not even by the NSA?
I had thought. freedomizerradio.com.
All right, I'll give it a shot, yeah.
But I was just going to mention real quick here that last January, through May, I dropped almost 65 pounds in about 5.5 months.
Wow.
And I lost that much weight, but my waist size went from a 36 to, I could fit into some 33s. I can fit in all the 34s, but the 33 is iffy. And the belly fat is the hardest thing to get rid of. And I think it's a lot of times has to do with the fact that I drink a little more liquid than I did before, and because I'm doing smoothies. And so I just feel like I have that reservoir that just doesn't go away.
Well, wait till summer. You can get started sweating again.
Yeah, I'm in Vegas, so there's no, I promise, there's, if you want to lose weight in the summertime, just go stand in the park in the middle of the sun.
Yeah,
and just stand there, you'll lose weight.
There you go. Hey, well, I was just kind of basically interested in this whole thing about the fake food. Because this stuff, there's no way in the world that it can be technically called food, yet the Food and Drug Administration keeps allowing it. And it, you know, it, if you look at the way that the government has been abused, you know, many of these regulatory agencies are basically giving permission to pollute, and so the idea of whether they're polluting the ground or also polluting our bodies, you know, it's a pretty disgusting prospect that we are basically paying taxes to an agency that that's giving people the right to poison us.
And let me mention one other, actually two things here. One, I had Jeffrey M. Smith on years ago, author championing against GMO foods, and he was saying that he had a discussion with one of the higher-ups at Kraft, and they are proud of the fact that cheese that they make is more than 90% chemical and less than 10% actual cheese. And
right.
They were happy because for years they've been trying to get under 10% and they finally were able to do it.
You know what's interesting?
If you buy Kraft cheese, it's 90%+ chemical.
Wow. You know, go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Greg.
Was that Velveeta?
I don't remember. I just remember it was Kraft, so he was probably mentioning the singles. I'm sure he probably would have said Velveeta.
Yeah.
The ones that say every slice has 5 ounces of milk in it.
Well, there's a book that came out probably over 25 years ago. It's called Food First on the Beyond the Myth of Scarcity, and it's by a woman named Frances Moore LePay. And she talks about the economics of food. She goes way back into history about starving the Irish and starving India and starving various places in the world, in the economics of it. But it's interesting to hear you talking about the percentage of chemicals, because one of the big things that she's talked about is that when you have small farmers, most small farmers will use like 80% of their land. They might let 20% go fallow and then they'll cycle it around. But when it comes down to corporations doing the farming, they generally only use about 15% of their land and let 80% sit unused. And so when you start looking at, places like Kansas and Wyoming and the Nebraska and, the Farm Belt, and you start realizing that if 80% of the land is not being used by these big corporate farmers, that's a lot of income that all of a sudden is drying up for those county seats and those small towns and whatnot. And so the idea of getting back to small parcels of land not only puts more people back into the land, but it actually creates more actual food. And when they're using chemicals in replacement of food, you can even imagine that 15% number is going to be dropping, and you got to wonder where are they getting these chemicals from to be able to call it food, to be able to shove it in our gullets.
One other thing I want to mention, too, is I don't know if anyone out there is a fan of the Hershey Company. But
not
they decided
much.
About 8 years ago, it could have been six or seven. I'm saying eight because that's, I think that was the time, so don't quote me. But if you look at the back of a candy bar or chocolate made from Hershey, there's an ingredient on the back of it named PGPR. It's four big letters. PGPR. And it's filled with almost anything nasty you could think of, including mercury and arsenic.
Well, I'm just looking it up now. PGPR.
Yes.
Polyglycerol polycyclonate.
I'm
silonate.
Good with pronunciations. I mean, sometimes I get tongue-tied while reading names, but as a whole, I'm,
oh, I see.
I'm
it's
pretty
actually
good with pronouncing, and I can't do that one.
Yeah, it's
you can pronounce it. There's a clue right there. It probably has anything that you want to stay away with.
Yeah, actually, this is an offshoot of castor beans, and you know how the weapons of mass destruction, they always talk about ricin? This is actually an offshoot of that. I pronounced it wrong. It's polyglycerol polyricinolate. So it's, trying to get kids to eat their castor oil. That's what this is. It's an offshoot of ricin and castor beans. And castor beans are not generally that efficacious for you. They just make you vomit, so you pass out whatever's, crummy up in your gullet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting that they would actually be mass-producing ricin like that. When weapons of mass destruction are being looked for, maybe they better start going down to the Hershey's plant.
Yeah. If you need a translator to pronounce it, if you can't pronounce chocolate and peanut butter, you probably don't want to go near it.
Yep. Hey, well, so you do your show weekly, or?
Well, let me just mention here with Freedomizer, I'll tell you everything about us real quick. And I see I have a commercial timeout. I have to do in about 3 minutes. I'm the owner of Freedomizer Radio. I'm Proof Negative. Nice to meet you here.
All right.
We have 15 hours a day of live broadcasting. I know that we have a new show, I think, scheduled to start next week or the week after me, so we'll be back to 15 hours. We are at 12 right now. But we'll be back to 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I run, you're in California, I believe you said, right?
Yeah, Pacific time.
All right, so I'm in Las Vegas, just down the street from you, and my show is Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay.
And so I do 3 hours a day. Normally I'm guest heavy. I had my first guest in the first hour today, but I had the Food Babe on last week. I've had Jeffrey M. Smith on. Critic has been a listener and a show host with us for many years, and he can tell you about some of the people that we've had on.
All right. You got some podcasts on there?
Years worth. You can also find me on YouTube under Proof Negative.
All right. I'll give it a shot. Hey, well, I'll give you a call another week. But, I thought I'd sharp in on that whole idea of fake food. There's just no way in the world that most of this stuff can be declared food. But the fact is that they just dump it on the market with some advertising campaign. And, if they do it on the Saturday morning cartoons, boy, the kids are, they think that everything adults do, has got to be true. So that's how they get it all going. I wonder if you might be able to get Ralph Nader as a guest on your show sometime, because he could tell you a lot about how these advertising campaigns and the food it's interesting. I've heard him give some speeches about how the way the advertisers put together these campaigns can be looked at as child abuse. If little kids look to adults as, a form of respect, as a form of respect, you think the older people know something, and all of a sudden you realize that, television is lying to you in an enormous way, and the parents can't put a stop to it. That's one of the major things he did when he was running for president there. But he might be available.
For whatever reason, I wasn't so lucky to get Ralph Nader. I had Ron Paul on once. I had Gary Johnson on twice.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia McKinney, I think you interviewed Cynthia McKinney before, right, Critic? Or was that ABC?
It was ABC. I was kind of co-hosting. He did more of the interviewing.
Okay. So, yeah, we've had Bob Barr on here before, Chuck Baldwin, others that have ran for president.
Yeah, yeah.
Congress, Senate, whatever.
Mike Gravel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just, yeah, keep up the good work. This is, you know, most people have, they feel underwhelmed when it gets to the idea of sciences, and they usually defer to somebody else, but, you know, this is getting to be pretty enormous. The idea that they're actually bringing tens of thousands of brand new chemicals on the market every year, and they're cutting the budget for Food and Drug Administration, so even if they wanted to be honest, there's no way in the world that they'd be able to test all of these things ahead of time. And
I'll just say, too, to piggyback what you're saying, is that there's a lot more food allergies than there ever was before, and it's not the food that they're allergic to, it's the chemicals and
sure.
the genetically modified process of the foods that... Growing up, I don't remember that many people having allergies to strawberries or soy or wheat. Granted, there could have been some GMO in the works 30, 40 years ago, but as a whole, everybody ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as a kid. We didn't have to worry about who was allergic to peanuts because it was peanut butter back then. It wasn't a genetically modified component.
Well, like I was saying, this woman that wrote the book, Food First, Frances Moore LePay is her name. She's actually got a research place up here in Berkeley. I think it's called the Institute on Food Policy. And she talks a lot about the, like I say, the economics of it. But just as you're laying it out there, when you start getting into these huge, massive fields, tens of thousands of acres of a single crop, then you really end up with a lot of problems because, you know, in the old days, if you think about the potato famine in Ireland of, you know, 100 and something years ago, in the world of potatoes, there are 70 or 80 different types of potatoes, but
right.
the British were used to only about two or three, and so they just kept planting the same one over and over and over, and after a while there got to be enough invasive critters so that they had a crop failure, and they, you know, the ground got moldy from the same type over and over. If they had rotated different types of potatoes or whatnot, but in the case of strawberries, they use this horrible chemical called methyl bromide, which is,
yeah.
It has any number of problems.
One of the worst things you can put in your body.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the idea
well,
that
that's
these...
a lot of wheat also, which is why people have this celiac disease. It's not that they're allergic to wheat. It's they're allergic to the bromide, and nobody wants to own up to it.
Right, yeah. And the methyl bromide is especially bad for, killing off the ozone layer. It floats to the upper atmosphere and then just does a chemical reaction up there and forces the upper atmosphere to go through all sorts of horrible changes. And there are any number of reasons for getting rid of these monocultures. Hey, well, I'll let you get going, and, I'll check in another week.
All right, thank you so much, and check out our other shows, too, if you get a chance. There's a lot more than just me.
Yeah, I'm looking at Freedomizer right now.
Okay, awesome.
Will do.
Thank you for checking us out and giving us a chance, and hope to hear from you again, Dave. All right, Critic, I'm going to take my break here, and I'm going to clear the board so that I can do my end of the news.
Okay.
But thank you for being here for a while with us, and it was a pleasure speaking with you again. I'm sure the audience always appreciates your input here.
Okay.
It's nice to have you part of us again. Even if you're not having a show, at least you get to hang out with some of us, and I appreciate that.
Well, I think that's my best...
okay.
That's my best serve, I guess.
Okay. All right, well, let me get to my commercial timeout, and we'll wrap up with some news. I want to get into there's a discussion as to, for anybody that knows me, one of my favorite fruits, and people are discussing whether or not it's healthy or it's junk. So we'll talk about that right after the break here.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hello, everyone. Proof is here. I want to let you know about our latest promotion on our freedomizerradio.com website. Our chat client, Bark, BARC.com, is hosting a micro Bitcoin giveaway while supplies last. All you have to do is go to freedomizerradio.com, join our chat room, create a screen name, and type to your friends. And some micro Bitcoins will fall from the sky. Not only that, the more people that are typing, there will be some random lotteries as well. So just for typing to your friends, you can earn some micro Bitcoins. So who knows how long this will last, but join us now, freedomizerradio.com.
Did you know that healthcare workers around the U.S. are required to get flu shots they don't want to avoid losing their jobs? Or that some state laws allow children to consent to vaccines that can injure or kill them? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Hi, this is the Wolfman.
And this is AD Venture.
Join us as we host the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You'll learn about primitive skills, survival techniques, equipment and gear.
We'll also discuss useful tips and tricks, product reviews, and even have a few special guest appearances.
Join me, the Wolfman,
and me, A.D. Venture,
for the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
Final segment coming up here, and don't forget, I work Monday through Thursday, so I get 3-day weekends. That's what you get for being the boss, I guess. You get a 3-day weekend, but anyway, I have a couple more articles up my sleeve here, and one of the ones I wanted to discuss right now, I saw something on Natural News today. Now, as everybody that's been with me a long time, I am a huge fruit aficionado, and like I was mentioning to a couple of our callers, and I've spoken on this I don't know how many hundreds of times over the year and a half, but last year I dropped 65 pounds. I went from 238 to a low of 173. And I did detox smoothies. And I'm a huge fruit guy. My favorites are several of the exotics. I do enjoy a good yellow watermelon, but most of my favorite fruits are ones that, well, even yellow watermelon, I know there's people out there that have never heard of it. But I do enjoy mangosteen, not mango. I do enjoy mango, but mangosteen is much tastier and quite a bit different. It's like comparing an apple to a pineapple. You can't do it. I like rambutans, lychee, stuff that nobody's heard of, star fruit. But one of my favorites, I will say, I go back and forth as far as whether mangosteen or ugly fruit is my favorite. And, yes, there's a fruit called ugly fruit. It's spelled U-G-L-I. And so there's an article on Natural News about this today, and since that's my favorite fruit and it's my show, I wanted to introduce this to people. Now, as a whole, this is grown in Jamaica, although sometimes I venture out to Temecula, California, and there's a produce stand in Old Town Temecula that has Temecula ugly fruits, and they're almost as good. It's like if you are a fan of White Castle and you haven't seen White Castle in 20 years and all of a sudden you go down to Miami and you have what's called Crystals. It's almost as good as White Castle, but it's just not White Castle. So I do buy them. They're just not the same thing. So Raw Michelle from Natural News, I'm going to have to find out who Raw Michelle is. She asked the question, is ugly fruit good for you, or is it a hybridized disaster that wreaks havoc on our health? And what ugly fruit is, and I'll read some of this article here in a second. I'm paraphrasing here for now. But the ugly fruit is a Tangelo hybrid that is part grapefruit, orange, and tangerine. And it looks as though it's a beat-up, broke-down grapefruit. That's what it looks like. It's big, and it looks like it's just been wilted. And you're thinking to yourself that you should probably throw it out. No, that just means it's almost ready. And give it a few more days, and it'll be great to eat. So I guess I can read a little bit here now. It's rich in antioxidants, vitamin C, fiber, and folate, and is very low in calories. If you open it, once you peel it open, you'll see it looks like any other citrus fruit. It doesn't look beat up on the inside. It's just the outer shell that looks like it needs a facelift. But when you open it and you crack a piece open in your mouth, it's like eating a glass of orange juice. It just has that very potent and distinct taste or uniqueness of all those fruits combined into one that just you literally have to eat it with a napkin in your hand, because if you're not careful, this juice just goes all over the place. And it is extremely tasty. I enjoy this quite a bit, which is why once a year I'll forage my way out to Temecula from Las Vegas, just so I have an excuse to go to this the produce stand out in Old Town Temecula, which is somewhere between Palm Springs and San Diego, just for those of you playing at home. Anyway, there are people that are against the ugly, because it's a hybrid, and truly organic. It's something that was made. And so Mark Sisson, a popular nutrition author and Ironman competitor, says, hybridization isn't some monolith to be universally condemned. And he says, hybrids aren't a big deal either way. Eat them or don't, but don't fret. You've got bigger things to be concerned with. Those bigger things, he says, includes vegetable oils cooked in, that foods are cooked in, as well as meat quality and amounts of stress in society. Not the likes of ugly. For those likening hybrids to GMOs, he's adamant it's not the same. He says that the GMO process, with its dangerous herbicides and pesticides, takes away any bits, while the manual hybrid process is one that occurs in nature all the time anyway and is designed to add healthy benefits. And then he mentions, what about pollen, wind, and bees? So there's also a nutrition expert, David Wolf, who says that applauding hybrid fruits or vegetables is nonsense, and he says that the main point is that hybrids are missing out on certain nutrients, and he says that foods are biologically weak that are hybrids. And I tend to side with the fact that I believe that hybrids are then GMOs. Hybrids can occur naturally. If, for example, if you happen to have two of the same fruits next to each other, they could fight as far as roots go underneath, and who knows, they might not fight, but they, in essence, could be dating each other. And Tessa goes on to say that the healthiest pets are hybrids and not purebreds. That's in the chat room. So I will say, embrace the ugly. If you happen to come across some ugly fruit, I hope you share the same passion with this fruit as I have. Although I do enjoy a good passion fruit, speaking of passion, but I would rank passion fruit probably number 4 or 5 on my top 5 fruits of all time. I have to give homage to Meyer lemons as well, and Tessa sent me some last month that were just phenomenal. And I do enjoy yellow watermelon. I would put yellow watermelon and passion fruit number 4 and 5 switched, I guess, depending on my mood. And Myers, oh, wow. Because I like rambutans as well. So Myers might be number 6 because rambutans would be 3. Ugly fruit, number 2, and mangosteen would be my favorite fruit of all time. All right, so I'm moving along here. Hopefully you guys have learned about a certain fruit today. So I am going to try another one real quick and see if I have enough time to cover this one. I need to expand my list to 10 fruits. I think I've done that. I think pineapple would be the only mainstream fruit that would be in my top 10. And I go through a lot of fruit, so I just thinking offhand, I don't know what else I would add in my top 10. I do enjoy green plums, and depending on where you're at, you may or may not have seen green plums in the store. And I'm not talking about unripened plums. I'm actually talking about green as opposed to black or red. So that's on the list. I do put starfruit in the list. And I do put the, not necessarily the white dragon fruit, but if you have the fluorescent purple red one, then that's in my top 10 as well. And if you want to throw Rainier cherries in there, I know they're somewhat popular, but not as big as the regular cherry. I think that would kind of round out my top 10. Anyway, I want to go into mangoes here, and I'm reading from healthimpactnews.com. And there's an article here that I want to get into. 17 reasons why you need a mango every day. And I don't know if I have enough time to go through 17, but I want to go through as many as I can real quick, and I know I got about 6 minutes. So mangoes may well be the king of all fruits. Of course, mangosteen is known as the queen of all fruits. They fight cancer, alkalize the body, aid in weight loss, regulate BDs, help digestion, clear the skin, and make the perfect snack. So they're mentioning that it has 7% potassium, 4% magnesium, 9% copper, 9% healthy probiotic fiber. It also has 76% vitamin C, 25% vitamin A, 11% vitamin B6, plus other vitamin B. And some of the things we're talking about here, it's an antioxidant, so it fights cancer like quercetin, isoquercetin, and I'm not going to go into some of the other ones because I don't want to be embarrassed trying to hurry up and pronounce because I'm running low on time. But it helps protect the body against colon, breast, leukemia, and prostate cancers. It also is a natural cholesterol regulator. It's also a skin cleanser, so mangoes help you unclog your pores and add freshness to the face. You can apply mangoes to any skin type. They clear clogged pores that cause acne, so you slice a mango into thin pieces and put them on your, you see on the smell-o-vision where people put cucumbers on their eyes. So you would do the same with mango as far as just putting it on your face. And it alkalizes the body. It has tartaric acid, malic acid, and trace amounts of citric acid that helps in maintaining alkali reserves. Also, mango has a lot of vitamins and nutrients that help the body feel fuller. The fibrous fruit also boosts the digestive function of the body by burning additional calories, assisting in weight loss. And I do use a lot of mangoes in my smoothies, probably at least twice a week. Although I have to say I didn't add any this week. I saw that every place I went to, they were $1.59 each roughly. So if they're $1 and under, I try to stock up on them and use them as much as I can. Let me get back here. It's also regulates diabetes. It says to boil 5 or 6 mango leaves in a vessel, soak it overnight, and drink the filtered decoction in the morning, so it helps regulate your insulin. It has a low glycemic index as well. Number 7 here, it's an aphrodisiac, and I won't get into more of that in there, but it helps regulate sex drive. It actually is also rich in vitamin A, which helps his eye health as well, and that's one of the main reasons that when I did my smoothies, I still do them, my vision went from -425 to -250. And a lot of that, I'm going to say, has to do with adding mangoes to smoothies. It helps in digestion. There's a lot of enzymes that help break down proteins. If you're walking around in the sun, it actually helps protect against heat stroke. It boosts your immune system because it has a whole load of vitamin C, A, and 25 different kinds of carotenoids, which keep your immune system healthy. It's a body scrub. It aids in concentration and memory. For women, it's rich in iron, which is great for people suffering from anemia, menopausal, and pregnant women can indulge in mangoes as well. It reduces kidney stones, so if you're having kidney issues, you want to hit the mangoes. And it says it's a perfect snack. I don't really list that as being one of the 17 reasons. But anyway, the final one, it says before going to bed, put some mango leaves in warm water and close it with a lid. The next day, filter the water and drink it in an empty stomach. And what it is, it's a stomach tonic. So it just like you would eat ginger if you have stomach ailments, you could use mangoes as well for that. So, yeah, I was able to hit all 17 of those that they cited within less than 6 minutes. That was great. I didn't know if I'd be able to do that or not. But I'm literally right now, I'm just now getting the 90-second buzzer in my ear. And at some point in the next few seconds, the outro music is going to play, which means that I have no say-so in this. Even being the CEO of Freedomizer, my show is over and whether I want to or not, I have to get out of here. So it doesn't feel like I spent 3 hours with you guys today. I wouldn't mind working some overtime, but the clock refuses to hear that. So I'll be back Monday. As always, please stay tuned to many of our other shows here on Freedomizer Radio. In the meantime, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember, only you